Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 is a verse about virtuous women. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Well, here's a subject that will honor virtuous women, and it will be a goal, an instruction, for young women, and a reproof to women who are not virtuous, but can be and ought to be. By the same token, this message will mean absolutely nothing to a woman without virtue, and who doesn't care anything about being virtuous. Now, according to the text, the first thing we see here is that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She's a crown to her husband. In other words, her virtue is recognized through her husband. Look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And of course, this is a message with several parts, and so a virtuous woman is not only known by her husband, but if she's a married woman, see, and you see her virtue, you'll see her virtue in her husband, because she is a crown to her husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now look up here in verse 3 of the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. All right, with that particular structure, you see that structure is very contrary. That family structure right there is very contrary to the type of structure that is being proposed by this modern generation. This modern generation says that men and women ought to be equal in every capacity, including the marriage, and in some cases, the woman is the boss. But in the Bible, in God's plan, the head over the man is Jesus Christ, and the head over the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Therefore, the woman is the glory of the man. Therefore, the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Therefore, the man was not created for the woman, but the woman for the man. When Adam was created, he said, I'm going to make you a help, and she's going to match you. She'll be a help meet for you. Well, that doesn't sound like this modern society at all. It sounds very contrary to that, and in fact it is. The Bible is contrary to the modern society in so many respects. So what is the deal here? Let's say then you're a woman that's not married. If you're a woman not married, then here's what you need to do. You need to look for, if you want to marry, you need to look for a husband whose head is Jesus Christ. That is, he's a saved man, and not only is he a saved man, but he lives like a Christian. In other words, he absolutely follows the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of his life. The second thing you need to do is, once you find a man like that, you need to make sure, you know, kind of a self-evaluation, you need to make sure that you can live with a man like that and allow him to be your head. And if you can't, or if he is not, then don't marry. No, don't marry him anyway. Or expect to get into a situation where you're going to have a little misery from being a woman who can't live under the headship of a man who is under the headship of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a married woman, and you're not used to that, and your husband's not a spiritual man, then you know your marriage already has some difficulties built into it, because Christ is not the head of your man. And it's hard to submit to a man like that. The Bible doesn't excuse you. You still need to be in subjection to him, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, because even if he's living without the word, he can be without the word straightened out if you're living according to the word and according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a very difficult thing. Now, a virtuous woman will do that. She'll be a crown to her husband, and she will find delight in that. You know, when you see a man who has a crown on his head, not only is the man honored, but the crown is honored. And a woman will find her greatest honor in her virtue when her husband is crowned by her. Oh, I tell you what, there's not a lot on this today, not in this society, and there needs to be. You know, if you're married, and this seems a little contrary to you, but things aren't working very well in your marriage right now, you ought to try this. In other words, you ought to put God to the test and give it a couple of years and see if it works out. Now, I know our society is very hasty, but you know something? I've known marriages where women have gotten saved. In other words, both of them were not saved when they got married, and then they got saved, and she decided that she would be a virtuous woman, and with God's help became a virtuous woman. And I'm telling you, you in that you see a very worthy woman, a very happy family, and a marriage that's going to last until they do die or until the Lord comes back. I realize it's a difficult thing, and I realize that it's come as a result of the curse, but you cannot and I cannot change that until the Lord returns and until the Lord sets up something differently. And in the meantime, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. And you ought to make it your objective to be a crown to your husband. Now, if you are a rare woman today, considering the number of women who are not virtuous. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. You're not making him ashamed, and therefore you're not rottenness in his bones. You know, I've had to visit with men before whose wives had turned out to be women that made them ashamed. And I'm telling you, the rottenness in their bones was well described by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. It's like they're dying of a putrefying disease. It's a terrible thing. Fortunately, there are not a whole lot of women like that, but unfortunately, there are some. So if you're a man, you be under the headship of Jesus Christ. You honor your wife and help her become a virtuous woman. And by all means, if you're a man not married, you may find the prettiest, richest woman on earth, but if she is a woman who is going to make you ashamed in time, you better stay away. All right, the second thing about a virtuous woman, she is single of heart. The Bible talks about servants serving their masters in singleness of heart as unto the Lord. Single of heart applies to somebody like Ruth. Turn back here to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3 and look at verse 10. Now you remember Ruth, probably, and if you don't, I'll just tell you briefly, but Ruth was a Moabite woman who married the son of Naomi, one of her sons. She had two. Naomi's husband eventually died, then the two boys died, leaving her a widow with two widowed daughter-in-laws. All right, Orpah turned back and stayed in Moab, but Ruth went back to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi. She did everything Naomi told her to do. She gathered in the field of a fellow named Boaz, who turned out being a near kinsman. And so Naomi said, you know what you need to do? You need to present yourself to Boaz to let him know that you're available to him. And if he'll do the part of a kinsman to you, then he'll marry you. You'll raise up seed to your former husband. You'll make me a very happy woman. And you'll have a great husband. You'll be a very happy woman with a husband. And so Ruth did that. And when Boaz found out that she was interested in him and available to him, then this is what he said in Ruth chapter 3, verse 10. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now Ruth got that reputation because when she came back to work in the fields of Boaz, he had many servants there, and she did not eye them. She did not make herself available to them. She didn't flirt with them. She simply minded her business of gathering grain, and then she carried the grain back to Naomi in order to feed the family. That's what she did. She did not try to become flirtatious just to find a male companion. And Boaz was not one of the young men that worked in the fields. Boaz was evidently an older man than she was. But according to the law of Israel, which really wouldn't have pertained to her because she was a Moabite woman, she decided to follow the law of Naomi and make herself available to the near kinsman who could raise up seed to Naomi. And you know something? That's exactly what she did. That was a very honorable thing. And that's how the whole city knew that she was a virtuous woman. What a tremendous compliment. What a tremendous statement. Now, unfortunately today, young women don't have the role models that they used to have. There aren't many role models like Ruth anymore. If their role models are, for instance, Hollywood movie stars or rock and roll singers, they're sunk as far as finding a virtuous woman among that crowd. Now, sometimes when a woman is young, she makes bad decisions. She makes unwise decisions for whatever reason. Lust or, you know, family problems or wonderful handsome boyfriend, whatever the case may be, she loses her virtue through carelessness at a young age. That happens. But then later, through Jesus Christ and through the Bible, she wises up. And then she decides that she's going to go for virtue, and she makes a very, very fine woman. Let me tell you something. If you're a man with a woman like that who is single of heart for you and for her family, if you have one of these, you are a very, very fortunate man, regardless of her start. Now, ideally, you would be the only man that your wife had ever had, and she would be the only woman that you had ever had, ideally. But, man, I'm telling you, this day and age, been lots and lots of problems early on. Just too much emphasis on sex and early problems. And you may have had a life like that. Well, it's not hopeless for you. If you and your spouse will dedicate yourselves to serving the Lord Jesus Christ and being virtuous, the Lord God giving you grace will allow you to have that virtue. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, the Bible says, house and riches are inheritance of fathers. They'll sometimes help you get those things. But then notice, a prudent wife is from the Lord. So, not all is lost. If you're single of heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and single of heart to your husband, then you will mirror the virtuous woman. Now, unfortunately, not all women turn out that way. Some women lose their virtue early and decide, well, since I've given that up and lost that, I'll just live the rest of my life that way. And they live according to the appetites and lusts of the flesh and do not concern themselves in the least with the Lord God. Let me tell you something. A woman like that is going to shame her husband again. Don't go there. Don't go there. Be single of heart. Be for your man. Before your man. A virtuous woman. She's a crown to her husband and ought to be honored in that capacity. A virtuous woman is single of heart like Ruth was. And then the next thing is, a virtuous woman is worth way more than rubies. Look in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. She's worth way more than rubies. Proverbs 31, 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, that doesn't mean you got to lavish jewels all over her in order to keep her, because verse 11 says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You don't have to do that to catch her. When it says her price is far above rubies, it doesn't mean that's what you have to pay for her. What that means is that if you could spend your life mining for rubies, you'd be better off with a virtuous woman than hitting the mother lode, they say, because she's worth more to you than a pocket full of rubies. Her price is far above rubies, you see. So as a man, don't spend all of your time mining for rubies. That is, all of your time working in your job. Some people say he's a workaholic. Okay, well, spend the time that's necessary to be diligent and do the very best job that you can, but pay careful attention to the woman you married or to the woman you're thinking about marrying, because she's worth more to you than the riches you can accumulate from doing a very good job or a very good deal. You really got to be a husband that pays careful attention to that virtuous woman that you married. You may find that if you don't take care of those matters, she might be inclined through temptation to lose that virtue. You don't want her doing that. Now, a virtuous woman is worth way more than rubies. And, you know, this day and age, everything's about the economy, you know. Lots of financial shows, lots of ways to stay at home, make more money, and all that kind of stuff. You know something? If you find a good woman, you're gonna be a lot happier with her than you will be with a sizable bank account. I was, I've had the opportunity on several occasions to be with people who are older when they need, you know, time. For instance, one of the spouses is very sick, or one of the spouses is ill in the hospital, or perhaps even one of the spouses is on their deathbed. Had the opportunity to be together. You know, at times like that, people are not thinking about how much money they've accumulated. They're thinking about losing that wonderful spouse they married. And suddenly everything in the world becomes a whole lot more important to keeping that spouse comfortable and keeping that spouse well and being able to spend time together than any business deal you've ever done in your life. And a man will spend literally thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to care for his spouse late in life just to make sure that she's comfortable and well cared for in her last days. Why? Because he realizes, if he never realized it before, that that woman that he's watching there in the hospital is worth more to him than all the riches that he accumulated in his lifetime of work. And that's the way it is. Well, don't wait until you're in the hospital. Don't wait until you're on the deathbed. Realize it now and make sure, man, to spend time with that virtuous woman. If you're not married and you're looking for a virtuous woman, you be sure to recognize that the woman that you're about to marry, and be ready, is going to be worth more to you than a lifetime of earnings. And if she's not, don't marry her. Just that simple. Just don't marry her. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, is single of heart, is worth way more than rubies. And then finally this, a virtuous woman is a diligent worker. A diligent worker. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Do you have your husband's best interest in heart? That's what a virtuous woman does. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, a lot of women don't know how to take care of things around the house anymore, like sewing. You know, if something tears, they just pitch it and go get another one. Verse 14, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Well, these days, you don't really have to work in the field like Ruth did, or in the gardens like pioneer women did, in order to bring your food to the table. You can go to HEB and get it on your way home from work. And that may not be very far from your home. But the point is, a virtuous woman will provide necessary food in the household. And what's the deal with that? Well, a lot of times people don't do that anymore. They spend a great deal of their time out to eat. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Well, a lot of us cannot afford maids anymore. But But what this shows you is that she is the type of woman that will get up before dawn to make sure that her household is fed. Now, you know, I realize that it's very difficult these days because a lot of times families are two-income families. Both mom and dad are working. And it's hard to get enough rest to take care of all of the obligations. But let me tell you something. Your children, when they go off to school, ought to go off well-fed. I believe that part of the problem these days with hyperactive and attention deficit children is due to dietary concerns. And I realize that there are other people that believe what I just told you, but there are a lot of other people who don't believe that. They think that there is a chemical imbalance in the brain. Well, the brain is fueled, you know, by the things that you eat. And I do have medical evidence from a very good doctor friend of mine up in Lubbock who told me that attention deficit children that had come to his office were on a horrible diet. And he changed their diet and gave them some supplements. And within 90 days, every one of them was off the Ritalin, and every one of them had increased their grade average in school by a full grade point. In other words, from a C to a B. And did not need the medication. Now, that's what he told me, okay? And I'm not a doctor, but I'm just telling you. So what I'm saying, according to verse 15, for the virtuous woman, she's the kind of woman that won't just cram a sugar donut out of a bag down her kid's throat on the way to school and kick him out the door because they all got up too late. Now, I realize what I said was a little bit rude, but that's the way it is a lot of times. They eat a bowl of cereal, or they grab a donut, or they grab a cookie, or some kind of a sweet type thing like that, and expect to function on that for the day. That is a highly refined carbohydrate that will burn in about an hour, and then the child is going to be left in a very aggravated state. They need good food like eggs and wheat bread, things like that to nourish their body. Oatmeal from good oats and things like that. And it takes, you know what it's going to take for you to do if you're a virtuous woman? You're going to have to get up a little earlier, sometimes even before daylight. This woman rose while it was yet night to feed the family properly so that their bodies are properly fueled for the work that they have to do during the day. It's hard, but that's what a virtuous woman will do. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. It's a gardener. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And that's not only down at the gym. She's doing things around the house. I know a good many women who mow their own lawns. I'm not suggesting that every woman should do that just to be a virtuous woman, but she shouldn't be sitting on the sofa watching soap operas and eating bonbons all day and not lifting a finger. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night, so she's up late having to use candlelight, or in this case, incandescent or fluorescent lighting, in order to see the things that she's doing. Many a time I've gone to sleep, and my wife has come to bed an hour later finishing up the laundry for that day. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Well, you're not going to use that anymore because you can go to the store and buy the clothes ready-made. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So not only is she concerned about her own household, but a virtuous woman will also be concerned about people who need help. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So she makes sure that they have plenty of warm clothing for the day. Or they go out with an umbrella if it's going to rain. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. That's very nice clothing. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So a virtuous woman who is a crown to her husband is actually going to make her husband a better man. For instance, if your husband is in business and you're a virtuous woman, then you're going to be partly responsible for the fact that he advances within the company because a wife can bring a man down. I know in the ministry there are a good many men who are hindered in the ministry because their wives are not virtuous women. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. So not only does she make clothing for her household, but she makes clothing that can produce income for the household. You know, I was of the opinion before that every mom ought to be a stay-at-home mom, and then certainly that's good. But you know something, really and truly today, particularly, a lot of homes need the extra income. And the unfortunate thing is, to get the extra income means there's going to be an extra car and more insurance and more gasoline. And so the full benefit of the income is not recognized, because it takes about half of that income just to get it, if you know what I mean. You're eating out more and all that other kind of stuff. But the point is, a virtuous woman can pitch in and help bring home some money like that to the household in order to be sure to have enough to take care of all the necessities. Now, if she's just working for the luxuries, you know, then at some point in time you might consider taking care of your own children and not paying somebody to do that for you just to own more luxuries. Because your children would certainly be a lot better off if they could have you around all the time than only, you know, a couple hours when you're tired in the evening. But that's your decision, of course. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That she's going to have to be a Bible reader, too, to be wise, not just a novel reader and a movie watcher. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. That's good. She's not goofing off all the time. She's working. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Well, you would, because she does everything she possibly can for her family. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her, because she's a virtuous woman. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. Now that's a virtuous woman. That's a lot of work, too. I don't envy you the position being a man, but I'll tell you what. I praise a woman that fears the Lord. I praise virtuous women, and I've been very fortunate to know a good many of them. I really have. They are in every respect what you see here in the definition of a virtuous woman that we've seen in the Bible today. They are a crown to their husband. They are single of heart. Their husbands do not worry in the least that their wives may cheat on them. Not even in the least. She's worth way more than rubies, and that is absolutely the fact, and a diligent worker. I had the good fortune when I was going to school to train for the ministry to work with a family and pour ornamental concrete. It was a very hard job to do, but I'll tell you the thing that made it easier is that man that I worked for had married a virtuous woman, one of the finest I'll ever know, and I love her dearly, like a mother, and she was in every respect these things that we've seen here. Wouldn't you like to have the same thing said about you?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.